You're listening to the Legally Balanced Podcast, Episode 5. Welcome to the Legally Balanced Podcast. I'm Ari Alvarez, a partner at an AmLaw 100 firm. As a diverse attorney, I have faced unique experiences in my career development journey. Now, I want to share what I have learned with you. Every week on Legally Balanced, I'll share practical career advice to tip the scale in favor of diverse attorneys, and I will do it in bite-sized bits, perfect for your busy life. This is the Legally Balanced Podcast. Hi, and thank you for joining us today. This is the fifth episode of our series focused on creating a career plan. In our prior episodes, we talked about the importance of anticipating obstacles when creating your career plan, and we then addressed challenges that were specific to the diverse lawyer, and we talked about the possible tactics to overcome or to avoid those obstacles. Today, we are focusing on hurdles that women lawyers commonly encounter, as well as proactive steps they can take to tackle these challenges.
Introducing the brand new QuadPod Podcast Network. At QuadPod, we have a variety of podcasts that are as unique as you. When you visit quadpod.com, you'll see our shows listed by category as well as average episode length. Find a new podcast at qodpod.com, the QuadPod Podcast Network. That's qodpod.com.
Hi again. As I mentioned earlier, today we're going to be focusing on some of the challenges that women lawyers commonly face in their career development. And we will be considering possible strategies that they can add to their career plans in order to tackle these obstacles. The first challenge we will address is gender bias. So a 2019 article published in the Harvard Business Review stated that success in corporate America required people to look the part. And that in the context of the legal profession, this meant that in order to get ahead, the person needed to, and I quote, look like a lawyer. What this was interpreted to mean was that the person needed to look like a white male. This, of course, is a disadvantage for women, and particularly for women of color, who, let's face it, do not look like white males. Examples of how this shows up in the legal workplace include situations like when a woman attorney in a conference room where a deposition will be taken is mistaken for the court reporter, or when the only woman attorney in a room full of lawyers is asked to make copies of documents or to get coffee, or when it is presumed that a woman attorney in a litigation team should not be the one to cross-examine a witness at trial because she will be too soft on the witness. So if you believe gender bias can be an obstacle for you, how can you tackle this in your career plan? First, you should think about the interactions you have had in the past with the people you work with. Focus on the people who have the ability to influence the course of your career. This can be your immediate supervisor or your practice group leader, or it could be a senior partner that you work with regularly. After you have thought of your interactions with these individuals, consider whether any of those indicate the possible existence of gender bias. If that is the case, you need to be aware that this might be a hurdle for you, and you should develop a strategy to address the situation. The strategy that you develop in this case is going to vary, and it's likely going to depend on the specific experience that you had with that person and with the actual individual that was involved. The second obstacle we will touch upon is the gender wage gap. So it is common knowledge that historically women lawyers have earned less than their male counterparts. And although in many firms, entry-level associates and junior attorneys may be in a lockstep scale where they're all earning the same compensation based on their graduation year, as years go by and lawyers gain seniority, it is common to see a gap in compensation start to appear. And this gap often grows as the years go by. In some cases, this disparity is related to a perception that men are more productive or more successful at networking or that they develop more business than women. In other cases, the gap can arise due to an actual, not merely perceptual, difference in the productivity and in the financial metrics between certain males and certain females. And this difference in productivity, in some instances, could be the result of males getting more work or getting better opportunities within the firm. But there could be compensation gaps between male and women lawyers in cases where there is no material difference in productivity or in the performance metrics. So what do you do about this in your career plan if this is your case? With respect to the first scenario, which is where you believe that the disparity is related to a perception that men are more productive or more successful at networking or developing business, you can develop a strategy to challenge that perception by learning to self-promote. Women are often very shy about tooting their own horn or calling attention to their accomplishments. However, if you don't let people know what you're doing or the successes that you're having, either with respect to developing your network, making connections that could result in billable hours, or actually getting business, then you're going to be at a disadvantage. So make a point of letting the right people at your firm know about the business development activities that you have engaged in and any successes that you might have with those activities. If, on the other hand, you believe that the wage gap in your case relates to a true gap in your productivity metrics, then you should consider developing a plan to address that issue. So, for example, if you're struggling with originating work or bringing in business, you can consider creating a business development plan to increase your chances of bringing in more work. This can include attending networking events or making a plan to contact former classmates or former coworkers who can refer work to you. If your issue is, for instance, that you are low on your billable hours, then you can include in your plan specific tasks that are going to help you increase your workload. For example, you can reach out to partners you have worked with in the past and ask them to add you to a matter that they're working on. If you reach out to colleagues and ask for work, they will likely take the extra effort to find work for you. You can also reach out to clients with whom you've worked regularly in the past to see if they have any additional work for you. Think about whether they have previously mentioned any projects they had in mind or that were in the pipeline and follow up on that. You could also look at the matters that you are currently handling to see if there are any additional tasks you could be working on. Let's say that you represent the employer in an employment law case and your client had to produce the employee handbook during discovery. When you received the document from your client, you looked at it and you realized that it had not been updated in years. So maybe in that case, you can bring that to the attention of a client and offer to update the handbook for them. That will likely give you more work, give you more billable hours. The bottom line is that if there's room for improvement in your productivity or in your financial metrics, you should be proactive and you should look for a way to address that and to improve those metrics. If you bridge the gap in your metrics, that could result in a reduction of the wage gap. But what if you're hitting all of your targets and there is truly a gap in your compensation that is unrelated to your performance? In that case, I would suggest that you bring it up at an appropriate time and to the appropriate person at your firm or at your company. Don't go around complaining at the water cooler or in the break room or in front of your peers about the issue. Address the matter with the person at your firm or at your company that is charged with dealing with that type of issue. Maybe that's your practice group leader, or it could be somebody at HR. The persons who make compensation decisions sometimes have to determine the compensation of many people. And at the same time, they're likely handling their law practices or juggling other administrative tasks. So it is possible that they might not have noticed this issue. They might not even realize that there's a problem. So if you bring the existence of the gap to their attention, it is possible that they might be able to fix the problem. However, if you stay silent and you say nothing, the issue might never be corrected. So the third challenge that we will talk about is addressing the misconception that women who have children or want to start a family or are caregivers to family members have other priorities and are not too concerned about their career development. If you're listening to this, you surely know that having a family or caring for family members and having a successful career are not mutually exclusive. Having a family doesn't supersede the desire for professional success. So if this is your case and you have family obligations, you have children, you have a family, and you believe that this is being perceived in your firm or in your company as equivalent to not being interested in pursuing your career path, then you need to address this issue. And one way of doing this is to make it known to your supervisor, to your practice group leader, or whomever you think is appropriate at your firm, that you do have an aspiration to move forward your career, that you have an aspiration for a promotion, for example. You should let the decision makers at your firm or at your company know what your career goals are. And this is even more important as you gain seniority and you move closer to being considered for partnership or for other senior positions. So these are a few of the common obstacles or challenges that women lawyers face in their careers. If you are a woman lawyer, make sure that you consider these and other obstacles that may be applicable to you and that you include in your career plan any strategies or any tactics that you believe might help you address these issues. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that it was helpful to you. As you know, this is a new podcast, so I would greatly appreciate if you would subscribe and leave a rating and a review. If you leave us a review within 7 days of the publication date of this podcast episode, you will receive complimentary access to our goal setting workshop. Just notify us at podcast@legallybalanced.com after leaving your review with a reference to the review posted so that we can confirm your post. And we will reply with your credentials to access the workshop. Thank you so much for listening today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legally Balanced Podcast. For additional information on how to boost your career and to download our show notes and other resources, visit us at podcast.legallybalanced.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Legally Balanced and on Instagram at Legally Balanced LLC, or join our LinkedIn group, Career Development for Lawyers.